Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito here from Island Community Church, and I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are going to hear today, Monday and Tuesday. We'll let this opening play for both days. The sermon I just preached on Sunday. And we're back in this series, Priority Mail. Being a pastor, I can only imagine receiving a letter coming in from number one Gold Street, heaven, from the sendee, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Who is he sent it to? Me. Boy, just imagine. And this is what happened in Ephesus. As the Lord himself from heaven dictated seven letters to give to the messengers, or angelos, incorrectly translated as angels, more like messengers or pastors or bishops, the leaders, the elders, the preachers of these seven churches. We're going out of order. We looked at Thyatira a few weeks ago. Today, we'll look at the first church, and that's Ephesus. We'll read from the Lord Jesus what the pastor was doing right. And then we'll hear some of the things that they were doing wrong. He's going to commend them for something. And then he's going to make another promise to them. To hear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So that's where we're at here today, Monday and Tuesday. And for more info on me, I encourage you, you can send me an email, paul@wgodradio.com. Our church has a YouTube channel now, and that's Island Community Church. You'll find the sermons uploaded on there, as well as the Wednesday night Bible study teachings uploaded on our YouTube channel. Speaking of Wednesday night, you're invited this Wednesday night as we are in Luke chapter 10. This Wednesday night live at 6 o'clock. Look for that posted later on our channel, on our Facebook page, WGOD Radio, or on the church website as well. So God's doing a great work at Island Community Church. You're invited. I invite you to come by and take part in one of our services here upcoming. So, okay, let's get into the Word now. Again, this is about a 35 or 40 minute sermon, so we'll let it play Monday and Tuesday. Priority Mail to the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Lastly, perhaps those in Ephesus failed what I like to call the prosperity test. Because this here is what a true apostle looked like. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul wrote this: I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, we are dishonored. To this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed, we're beaten and homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until now. And this is what an apostle looks like. Ever seen one of those? Look at this list of 12 things. They're last. They're condemned. They're public spectacles. They're fools. They're weak. They're dishonored. They're hungry. They got their clothes at a thrift store, not Savile Row. They're homeless. This sounds like our food pantry saints, doesn't it? This most closely resembles an apostle. Those that come here every other Saturday. Number 10, they're hated. Number 11, they're persecuted. And number 12, they are the filth of the world. And you're an apostle? An apostle was naked. As a general rule of thumb, I like to say an apostle was naked and homeless and had a bashed-in head. That's how you spot one. And you're not going to spot one because they had to know the color of his eyes. And you're not going to find anyone alive anymore that can tell you that. Church was a young man named Timothy. Right after this letter, the apostle John himself lived in Ephesus and ministered to people. All right, verse 3, more commendation. He said, "You have persevered and have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." See, the Lord recognizes all the hard work that you do for his name. Paul wrote, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Meaning you might not be rewarded here in this life for what you do, but you will be coming up in the next one. Now Jesus is watching, and your labor is not in vain. Again, the Apostle Paul says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Or another translation says, if we don't. If we don't faint. Keep up the good work. Don't faint. Don't give up. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so each one will give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. You will be rewarded for what you're doing here for Jesus, your work here. Okay, what are the Lord's complaints against the Ephesian church and the pastor here? Verse 4. He says, "Nevertheless, I've got this against you, that you've left your first love." So the first love was what or whom? It's him. He was the first love. That's the whole reason for their salvation. The point and reason for everything is Jesus. Remember? That's their first love. The whole reason for them being right with God is because of Jesus, lest we forget. Lest we forget. That's why we're here and why we're going to have this here this morning. Lest we forget. Lest we forget all that he did on the cross. Once a month we take the time and have the bread and the wine. He says, "This is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now these guys had left this. This is the number one thing. This is why we're here. We are here to worship and give glory to God for what he did. By dying in our place on the cross, giving up his life, dying for us, the substitutionary death of Christ. The wages of sin is death. When I was the one worthy of death, for breaking God's laws, Jesus steps in, takes my penalty and punishment for me, and says, "Don't worry about that, Paulie. I'll take care of it for you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. And what's it worth to you? That's up to you to decide. I'm glad to hear that. All to him. Didn't we sing that song? Or was that in practice? All to him I owe. These guys had left that. Hear me now. If you're not careful, or if you are a lackadaisical guard, and if you don't guard your heart against this evil world, then the passage of time can lead you to to leaving not only your first love, but your second love, your third love. You know what that could be? I could be your spouse. Dot, 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 fill in the blank. Your family? Because you let this world get in and chink away at the love that you have. Starts with him. He's first, should be first in your life. Your love for God should be first. If you get that right, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, comma, and all these things will be added unto you. You want your family right and everything right with your family? Keep him first. Your attitude of gratitude that Jesus died in your place. The perfect, sinless Son of God died in your place. When it should have been you up there on that cross. Keeping your first love vibrant requires work. Work on your part. Again, we observe the Lord's Supper here every month, and we'll do so here coming up in 5 minutes. I believe that helps if we do it rightly. But let's forever remember how we used to be BC and all that the Lord has done. Adrian Rogers says, if you don't love the Lord as much as you did when you first were saved, then you've backslidden. If you don't love the Lord as much as when you first were saved, then you've backslidden. The good news is you can change that here this morning. Make it right. Make it right when we partake of communion. That is, you take 5 minutes to yourself and you repent of dropping that ball. This is why he died. There's forgiveness in Christ Jesus for what you've done. It's never the end. As long as it's still today and as long as there's breath in your lungs, it's never too late to make it right. And this was the case here at Ephesus. Now in verse 5 comes the solution. Not from a self-help book, not from a friend, not from a mother-in-law, not from your best friend, but from the Son of God. Look at the first word in verse 5. What is it? Remember. Remember, therefore. That is, get along with God. Get alone with God and remember. That's why he had them erect stones of remembrance wherever they went, so that they wouldn't forget. It's so easy to forget all that God's done for you in your life. If you let this world chink away at that, get along with God. Remember all that he's done. Jesus says it. He says, remember, therefore, from where? W-H-E-R-E. From where you have fallen, remember? Do you remember where that used to be? Where you used to be? Where you used to stand? Where you used to go with your quiet time with the Lord? Where is your where? Remember and get back to that time. That's what he wants you to do. He even threatens you here. Look at that. Remember from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works. What does he say then? Or else. There's the threat. Or else. Make this thing right after all that I did on the cross, dying for you, and it costs you nothing, friend. Costs you nothing. Make it right. Or else. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your land. He's talking to the pastor, remember? He's talking to the pastor. He's saying, Bub, if you don't fix this, guess what, Smedley? There's going to be 6 lampstands here, not 7. There's going to be 6 stars, not 7. He's talking to the pastor. Make this right. Your church isn't serving me right anymore.
This is a threat to the pastor. Make this right. Do what you do in my name and make it right, or else you're going to lose your lampstand. Have you ever been to a church where you don't experience the presence of God before? That's what it would feel like. That's why 100% of you keep returning here. Some of you don't even know it. Because the Lord's presence is experienced here. And he draws you in. He heals you. Am I right, Dwayne? Heals you. He works on you. He helps you with your weaknesses. He makes you strong. He does a great work in you for 70 minutes. And then you go out here and face this world. Remember. Let me finish his sentence. Repent. Do the first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and I will remove your lampstand from its place. Now he says that a second time. Unless you repent. So that's his encouragement. Remember and repent. Remember, he's dictating the letter to the pastor. He's the one who's just been corrected. Church-wise, perhaps it's like this. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Now, for Ephesus here, let's call this First Baptist Church, Ron, of Ephesus. And you walk into the foyer. And there in the foyer is a picture of our founder, the Apostle Paul. Then you see another picture that says our first pastor, Timothy. And then another picture says our current bishop, the apostle whom Jesus loved. How do you fill those steps? How's that for a reputation to maintain when your church is founded by Paul, John's the current pastor, and Timothy was the first pastor there? How do you do that? Jesus says, you've left that. How do you maintain that? Man, it's got to be, what a burden on this guy. But they had everything that they needed. Remember from where you have fallen. Remember how it used to be. And repent and make things right. Remember all the Lord has done for you, to you, through you. Remember and go and get that back. That's my encouragement to you this morning. Remember and go and get that back. How do you do that? By doing something for someone else. You ask Steve, stand up there for a second. Steve, our deacon. You go talk to this man. This man's got a ministry with at the hospital, in hospice. He's the chaplain that represents Island Community Church. You want to get this back? Go talk to him. Maybe he'll take you to the hospital with him next time he goes back. Thank you, brother. There are things. Do something for someone else is how you get this back. That's the solution. Don't think about yourself. Think about someone else. Do something for someone else. I see so many of you guys, you're bringing in food to help people that don't have a loaf of bread. Doesn't that make you, it's okay to feel good for doing that. Because the spirit in you is happy when you do that. Go and do something for someone else. Or I challenge you to come in here on the food pantry. Ask Bob and Isabel if they can help you, or that you want to help them, and Les, and Dwayne, and Danny, and Scott, and everyone that works here, and Delilah, and everyone who works here at the food pantry. Come ask them that if you can help them, and come in here and help and serve the people that don't have a loaf of bread. And those are just some of my encouragements for how you can get this back if you've lost it. If this evil world has taken it from you, I encourage you, you get it back by serving him. And those are some of the ways right here in our own church. By visiting sick people in the hospital with Steve and soon myself when I start joining him. and right here at the food pantry twice a month. Those are ways to get that back that I encourage you. Okay, and now he's going to give them one more praise before he puts his John Hancock on this. You know, I wonder what a John Hancock was before John Hancock. How does that work before 1776? What do you know? I or ego, I am. How do you do that? John Hancock. Man, that guy had a, what a selfish, wasn't he? He took up that whole declaration with one signature. John Hancock. I wonder how he signed this. I am. Okay, he says, but this you have, that you hate. Here we go with hate again. You hate all the evil that's going on around you. And now here's another thing he's happy that they hate. This you've got going for you. I'm in verse 6. That you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Wow, that's a strong word. Now, history has it, the Nicolaitans were offshoots of one of the very first deacons in the church. His name was Nicholas, and Nicholas turned into an apostate. That information comes from one of the ancient church fathers whose name was Irenaeus, back from 200 AD. Irenaeus wrote that the Nicolaitans were preaching compromise. That is, blending Christianity and occult paganism, such as worshiping Artemis, whose statue was right there in Ephesus, right down the street. Ask my wife, I come running out of the shower this morning, behold, we got an Artemis right down our street now too. Right? This spaceship here is named Artemis for the love of Pete. These guys are in trouble for worshiping Artemis that was right down the street. And you go out here with your binoculars and you look, and we have Artemis right down our street. I just found that as a funny coincidence, right? What are the odds of that? What are the odds of that? You can find Artemis with your own binoculars. Would it be all that far-fetched to say there's going to be 300,000 people that'll worship it? Maybe not a tank full of gasoline, but they worship the space program and what they hope that they find. Right? Water on Mars to prove there's no God. Come on, fess up. You know this is what it is. You know this is what you're looking for. Water on Mars to disprove God. Let's be real. They certainly wouldn't do it the way they did it the last time they circled the moon. You know what they did when they landed and circled the moon? You know what they did? The same thing we're going to do right now. These guys had communion while they're circling the moon. That's what they did. Won't get away with that one today, will you? That blows me away, these guys taking communion. The first thing they did was take communion. She's going to go get them out of the other room, and that's what we're going to do here right now. Jesus hates it when Christians try to compromise in order to not be persecuted by the locals or by the government. Let me say that again. Jesus hates it when we compromise in order not to be persecuted by the locals and by the government. Or compromise to get along with someone when the compromise by itself is evil or wrong. Or compromise by allowing sexual immorality into the church in order to blend in with society. Jesus hates this. Out of his own mouth, he hates it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And there it is. Finally, after thousands and thousands of years, the Bible, in its last book, offers once again a glimpse of the tree of life and shows us that it's still around after all these years. And the Lord gives us a promise. To him who overcomes this evil world, this tree of life is yours. You just got in here. She's clapping already. Hallelujah. All you have to do is cross the finish line in faith. Cross the finish line in faith. That's what's required. You're starting off in the faith? Yeah, right on, brother. Right on. 3 years old, he's going to have communion. And let's pray that he'll finish his work and this race in faith. That's all that's required of us, is to always say yes to him, to finish this line, finish this life, no matter the cost, in faith. And that is what this pastor's mail looked like.
All the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio, and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Let me feel your breath. Let me know.